Many schools, government offices, and businesses across Wisconsin remain closed due to the life-threatening cold. Even the Postal Service suspended regular mail delivery today. Multiple power outages have also been reported around the state. High temperatures were forecast to reach the negative teens before dropping to about 30 below tonight. Wind chills have exceeded 50 below. It's all because of a phenomenon known as the polar vortex. We'll talk about what that is and why some meteorologists are saying we may see more and more of those in winters to come. But first, we're going to talk with a couple of WPR reporters about how communities around the state are dealing with the deep freeze and how it's affecting various aspects of life. Corey Hess is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Milwaukee. Corey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, Corey, are you inside?
I am inside.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Good. We'll get to the local stuff in a moment, but what has the state done to prepare for this cold?
Well, you know, I think that the different municipalities in the state saw this coming for several days beforehand, so they were preparing all along. I talked to different municipalities yesterday to find out what they were going to do for Wednesday, and they were already working with the Red Cross, different emergency services, and making sure that warming centers were open, that their various departments that didn't really need to be open today were going to be closed. So they were getting ready to make sure people that did not need to be outside were not going to be outside today.
Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett said at a news conference on Tuesday that after a mild start to January, he said, quote, the weather is up to its old tricks and decided it was going to let us have it right in the kisser now, end of quote. What's the city yes. doing in response?
Well, the city really is shut down today. The only departments that are open are police and fire. The mayor had another press conference today where he reported that the police department has said that people are safe, that the people who live outside because of homelessness or other issues have been reported safe. There are 7 warming centers in the city with 300 beds. And the mayor also reported that he drove around and the streets really are clear. So the city is closed.
What's going on in local communities regarding the homeless?
Well, I mean, really, local communities seem to have all stepped up. They're opening up centers for the homeless. In Superior, they opened their first warming center, and that's happening statewide.
Schools are closed. Some districts have already canceled classes for tomorrow. What have you heard about the UW system?
The UW system is closed tomorrow until... Well, system-wide, I'm not exactly sure, but it appears that classes are closed until about noon tomorrow, is what I've been hearing from various schools. Milwaukee Public Schools is closed tomorrow again, which will be the 6th day that the state's largest public school district is closed.
Do you have any updates in regards to what else is happening around the state?
You know, just... The state, the municipalities I've talked to are just telling people to do things that seem basic, but people might be forgetting about running their water to make sure pipes are still working and making sure that their water meters are kept warm enough. Just things like that. I mean, that's all people are doing is just trying to remember the basics.
Corey, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And stay warm.
Thank you for having me.
Corey Hess is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Milwaukee. Now let's go to La Crosse and check in with reporter Hope Kerwin. She's going to talk about what we can do to keep warm, protect our pets, and make sure our homes are in good working order. Hope, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Well, I hope you're in a safe place and a warm place as well.
Yes, I'm holed up at home out of the cold.
Good for you. What's going on in southwestern Wisconsin?
Well, I know a lot of farmers and producers were preparing to protect their livestock this week as we see these terrible cold temperatures. Doing things like making sure they have shelter, dry bedding, places to get out of the wind and cold, and also making sure that they have unfrozen water. That's a really important part of helping animals to maintain their body heat if they don't have to, work on, unfreezing that water, as long as they have access to unfrozen water.
And, speaking of livestock, how should we be taking care of our pets in this type of weather?
Well, pets are very similar to farm livestock as well. I mean, they need to be out of the elements, if that's at all possible, at least out of the wind. I know that if you're, taking your dog for a walk, people are suggesting keeping that to 10 minutes or less. Frostbite can set in as few as 5 minutes. So it's very important to not be outside for extended periods of time. And also, trying to put a coat or a sweater on your dog as well.
It's probably best to stay inside if we can, just switching over to humans. But if we have to go out, what's the best way to bundle up?
Well, the important parts are just to cover any exposed skin. So, everything from your hands to even your face. Like I said, frostbite can set in as few as 5 minutes, so just making sure that those areas are covered. And if you have to drive somewhere, making sure that you have adequate gas, making sure that you have blankets or hand warmers, an emergency kit in your car just in case. In case of an emergency, you don't want to be stranded. People are advising any travelers to let people know of their travel plans and when they plan to arrive at their destination, to check in often, because it's very dangerous to be stuck out in the cold.
Let's turn the focus to our homes for just a minute or so. Frozen pipes can be a big problem. How do we minimize the chance of that happening?
Well, people are suggesting just to keep your water running when you can. Occasionally turn on faucets. That freezing tends to happen when pipes are inactive, and so if you can just keep faucets running. Also, a good tip is to open the cabinets underneath the sink to make sure warm air is circulating under those pipes. Those are just some of the tips you can take advantage of.
So if we turn on the faucet, though, and no water comes out, what should we do?
Well, people are suggesting you know where your main water shutoff is on your house in case of that situation. You don't want to have a water pipe break. And I've also seen, people suggesting using things like hair dryers, even just to try to address frozen pipes and warm them up, get warm air circulating.
Now, energy use obviously goes up on days like this, but some people might be tempted to scale back to avoid a really big heating bill. What should people keep in mind about energy costs in weather like this?
Well, that is a huge concern, especially for people who are low income or income constrained. The tendency might be to turn down the thermostat if they're worried about paying a utility bill. But really, people who help low income people really say, don't worry about that a higher bill. There are assistance programs in every county in the state to help people pay their utility bill if they're having a hard time in the winter season. But it's really important to keep your thermostat turned up, keep the heat on, and to not use things like ovens or unventilated heaters, unsafe, not for home heating sources. Those can be really unsafe sources of heat. When really you should just use your home's furnace or other heating system. Also, if people experience a heating system emergency, and you know, each county in the state also has crisis assistance for those sorts of situations, and so they can call their county and receive help in repairing or in some extreme cases, maybe even replacing a furnace that has gone out.
Hope, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and you stay warm.
You too.
Hope Kerwin is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in La Crosse. Coming up, we'll talk with a meteorologist about what's driving all this cold air to our neck of the woods. We also want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How has the bitter cold affected you? Did you have to be outside for any extended period of time? Any problems with your car or pipes at home freezing or bursting? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation after a short break right here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Darrell Connor. We're continuing our discussion of the dangerously cold weather over Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest. Actual temperatures were only forecast to get up into the negative teens, with wind chills flirting with minus 50. The National Weather Service says temperatures may not rise above zero until Friday. Lots of businesses and government offices have closed. Lots of school districts have closed around the state. Even the Postal Service suspended delivery today. So we want to hear your stories about the cold. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. How have the cold temperatures affected you? Did you have to work or spend any time outside today? What weather-related questions do you have about the cold? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let's do this. Let's go to the phones first. Let's go to Ellen in Cedarburg. Good afternoon, Ellen. Welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to tell you that I thought it would be interesting just to feel what 40 degrees below zero felt like. So I bundled up and I went outside and I tried to find a coffee shop that was open and they were all closed, and I went back about as fast as you can get. So I've had my experience now.
But you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good, good, good. Thank you so much, Ellen. It is really, really cold outside. And in fact, I heard from a friend who was talking about someone who had that same experience. He was from the West Coast and wanted to see, they were in town for a conference and wanted to see what it would feel like to walk outside in this type of weather because he had never felt it before. He walks outside the hotel and he says, well, everything seems to be fine, until he walked to the end of the block and then he turned. And then he felt the gust of wind, and he immediately ran back in the hotel. Let's go to Jonathan Erdman. He is a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and a contributor to the Weather Channel podcast. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Darrell, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad. I'm hopefully, Jonathan, you're somewhere warm as well.
Yeah, I decided to do this interview inside this time. I stepped outside for about 30 seconds to do the infamous boiling water trick this morning, and I decided that was enough for one day.
You know, I noticed, Jonathan, that there is some news, some television news stations that are doing this the soda challenge. They're putting sodas outside in the cold and trying to see which brand of soda will burst first. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that. I'm going to look that up after this interview, but that sounds intriguing. I've heard that's done with some alcohol products, too, that I won't mention, but I'll have to check that out.
So today is supposed to be the coldest of this string of cold days, correct?
Well, I'd really love to say that that's true, but unfortunately, tomorrow morning could be even a few degrees colder in some spots. So just to shed some perspective on this, Madison's Dane County Regional Airport dropped to 26 below zero this morning. That was their coldest temperature in almost 23 years, since February 3rd of 1996. Milwaukee dropped to 20 below zero this morning. That was their coldest since that same outbreak. And Eau Claire hit 30 below zero, also the coldest since that February 96 outbreak. But unfortunately, tomorrow morning, it's possible that Madison could see only the third day with a low in the 30s below zero. in records dating to the 1930s, and that last happened in 1963. So unfortunately, it could even be colder tomorrow morning.
Wow. Jonathan, can you let our listeners know just how dangerous it is out there?
Well, you know, the typical rule of thumb is, you know, and let me just start first by saying that's the problem with this particular cold outbreak has been the wind. Now, oftentimes when we get extreme cold like this in the upper Midwest, you'll have extreme cold with clear skies and light winds, you know, a fresh snow cover on the ground. It'll just be still as can be. And then you wake up in the morning and it's 20, 30 below zero. But what's so insidious about this cold outbreak is the wind. And the wind just isn't letting up. So, yeah, when you get wind chills like we've seen already in the 50s below zero, you can get frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 5 minutes. So this isn't the case where you can just take the dog for a walk around the neighborhood and then come back and have no impact. If you're not covering exposed skin, you can get frostbite that quickly, and that's how dangerous this is.
These temperatures are the result of something called the polar vortex. What does the polar vortex mean?
Well, you know, it's funny. That term first kind of became a pop culture phenomenon about 5 years ago in January of 2014. Meteorologists have known about the polar vortex basically since before the Civil War. The polar vortex has been there in the atmosphere as long as there's been weather. And basically what it is, it's this big gyre of low pressure that sits near the poles in the winter months. And probably the easiest way to think about it is when the polar vortex is strong, so, you know, it's the circular vortex way up in the atmosphere, well above jet stream level. When it's strong, it keeps cold air masses at bay over the Arctic regions. But when the polar vortex weakens a bit, when it becomes, and sometimes it even fragments into two, then all of a sudden it's like the floodgates are open to cold air, and the cold air can flood into Europe, and it floods into the central and eastern United States. And we saw that polar vortex weakening right around New Year's Day. And typically there's a few weeks lag from when that happens to when the cold air arrives in the U.S. And it can be pretty nasty, as we've seen.
Jonathan Erdman is a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and a contributor to the Weather Channel podcast. He joins us today. We're talking about the record-breaking cold weather, and we're asking you to give us a call to give us your perspective on the cold. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tyler. He is calling from North Carolina, and he's here on business. Tyler, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here. So I would say that don't come to the Midwest underestimating the power of the weather. It's literally, you step outside and breathing through my nose hairs freeze to the side of my nose. It's painful to breathe, and I really underestimated it coming here, but I don't know if you guys have mentioned this before, but these temperatures are competing with Mount Everest temperatures, so it is beyond cold and pretty tough for a southerner like me to handle. So just a heads up to anyone else coming from the south to visit.
Tyler, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to John in Suring, Wisconsin. John, welcome to Central Time.
Good day. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, I just have a comment. You know, I used to, where I'm living at, I used to go to school up here back when I was a lot younger, in 69, 70. And we'd go to school, be 20 below, and be blowing like heck, and go to school and do our thing, come back home. And then we jump on a snowmobile and run 56 miles an hour. Didn't seem to bother us. What's the big deal?
John, thank you so much for the call. And Jonathan, I've heard that from quite a few others who have said that, you know, this weather isn't anything unlike what they've experienced when they were younger. And, you know, they did a number of activities outside. Can you explain to folks what the difference is between what had been like when they were younger to what's happening now?
Well, I completely understand what John was saying. You know, I'm a child of the epic winters of the late 1970s, which, you know, for any listeners that grew up during those times, those were benchmark winters. And for those that are a little bit older, you know, some some winters in the 50s and 60s really measured up as well. I think it's a case where, you know, these days we still get these cold air outbreaks, but they may persist for a few days, but they may be a little bit less intense than long lasting than perhaps what we saw in the, say, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, even in the 1980s. I think school districts, and I can't speak for school districts, but I think they're just more cautious now. Obviously, if kids are getting frostbite in 50, 60 below wind chills, that could be a PR problem, maybe a, you know, legal problem for some school districts. So I think they just want to play it really safe, in these days.
Jonathan, a winter storm expert in Boston, said the unusual cold could stick around for another 8 weeks or through mid-March, just in time for the first official day of spring. We've got just about a minute or so left. What does the long-range forecast look like to you?
Well, I'll start with a little bit of good news. We're going to see a massive warm-up this weekend, coincident with Groundhog Day. So believe it or not, much of the state of Wisconsin will warm above freezing by Saturday. Imagine that. So
wow.
60 to 70 degree temperature change. Unfortunately, that may not last very long. It's looking like about around the middle of next week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, the cold is going to come back. Maybe not the ferocity that we've seen this week. But unfortunately, with the rest of February, it does look quite cold through most of the northern plains and upper Midwest. Hopefully, our long-range forecasters are suggesting that March may actually be a little bit warmer, maybe be warmer than average. Hopefully, we won't have a repeat of what we saw last April. I don't know if you remember last April, but last April was the coldest April on record in Wisconsin dating to 1895. Hopefully, we'll see nothing like that. But unfortunately, the rest of February does look, in general, cold after this Groundhog Weekend.
Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You stay warm.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Jonathan Erdman is a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and a contributor to the Weather Channel podcast. We talked with him about what's causing all the cold weather this week, and earlier we spoke with WPR reporters Corey Hess and Hope Kerwin.